Hi, by the way. Hi. I feel like I should be giving a commencement address or a press briefing or something like that. This is weird. I heard somebody say, the bigger the pulpit, the more insecure the pastor. So I don't know what this means about my insecurity. But this is what we have to work with. It's good to see you all today. I'm glad that I made it here. I'm sick as a dog. Nothing contagious. It's my allergies. They're going nuts. And the medication that I'm taking says may cause drowsiness. And man, they did not lie. And so so it's a tough thing. It's like I'm either going to pass out on this thing here this morning, or if I don't take the medication, my head will explode. So whichever one of those, that's going to be entertaining. So you have that to look forward to. I was feeling bad about this. I'm like, man, I just do not feel up to this. And I started on my way here, and I was going on East Torch Lake Drive. I don't know if you've ever drove that area towards Bel Air, East Torch Lake Drive. And there was, I didn't see a single car the entire time I was on there. It was beautiful and sunny. I could look at Torch Lake and Skegamog, and it was just a wonderful morning. And I started to feel pretty good. I started feeling like, yeah, this is going to be a good day. We're going to have a good time. And then I got onto 72, and everybody on 72 was trying to murder me with their vehicles. And I don't know why, what I did to people from downstate, but they're all trying to kill me. And if you're from downstate and you're here this morning, I don't want to be offensive. I just don't want to die. So can you just kind of be more careful? I haven't even been on Division Street this summer, and I'm just going to avoid that altogether. But you guys at Traverse City, you know all about this. I'll take my Bel Air traffic any day. It's good to be with you. We're going to be taking a look at Acts chapter 1. The first chapter of Acts. You know this story well. Since I'm not thinking straight, my head's not working right, what I'm going to try to do this morning is I'm going to try to cover the Ascension, I'm going to try to cover the Pentecost, and I'm going to try to cover Father's Day, all in one. So we'll see how far we get. Acts chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before them into a cloud. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. Let's pray. Almighty God, on this day you open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as for me, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You've heard the story, of course, of the little girl who was hanging out with her grandpa. And she was reaching up and touching her grandpa's face. And grandpa was old. You know these grandpas. His face was all wrinkled up, and he always had a 5 o'clock shadow. There were liver spots on his face, and she's just touching this wrinkly, hairy face. And she says, Grandpa, did God make you? Yes, God made me a long time ago. And then the little girl starts touching her own face, and it's a perfect little face. It's so smooth and young, and she's touching it, and she says, Grandpa, did God make me? He says, yes, God made you just a few years ago. So she touches his face again and touches her face. And she says, wow, God's really getting a lot better at this, isn't he? I think as we approach Father's Day, I know that I hope somewhat that's true. I hope that my children are better off than I was. Not that I've been bad off, but you want to see them grow and mature past what we have. And my dad wanted the same thing for me, and his father too. And that's why we work. We work for the next generation and the generation after that. And as Father's Day approaches, you are probably used to some preacher standing up and giving a sermon about how we are supposed to be fathers. We are supposed to be parents like God is a parent unto us. And we all can recall, we are all supposed to be able to recall some wonderful experience from our past with our fathers that we can compare to our Heavenly Father. But the question that we have, I think, here this morning, is God really that good of an example of a father? In this passage, the crucifixion has occurred, and after that, Jesus is raised from the dead. For 40 days, Jesus interacts with the disciples, teaching them, hanging out with them, and then he's ascended on high. He rises up, and he leaves, just like that. He tells them, you're going to go and take my message to the farthest parts of the earth. You have this huge job, this huge mission. Good luck with that. I'm out of here. What kind of a father leaves at that time? The church is in its infancy. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even exist yet. There's a certain vulnerability that's here. Peter keeps trying to go back to his old job fishing. They are so fragile at this time, and it's now that Jesus just leaves. What kind of a father abandons their kids during their infancy, during the time when they need them the most? Now, some of you that are here this morning, you know what kind of a dad would do that. You might have had that kind of a dad. There are lots and lots of stories out there about fathers who decided to do something other than be a parent. Fathers who went out for milk and never came back. And you can resonate with that. And every year when we have Father's Day and we compare our Heavenly Father to our earthly father, you have these mixed emotions and this trouble with this, because if God is anything like that, you just sit around waiting for him to abandon you. Now, those of us who did not have a picturesque relationship with our parents might get a little confused and hurt when we read the scriptures. When we think of our Heavenly Father, we feel the pain and all the burdens that we are carrying from our earthly father: abuse, abandonment, neglect. But it is important this day to remember that our Heavenly Father is not like this. He did not merely abandon us at the time that we needed him the most. Let's take another look at the text, except for go ahead one chapter to Acts chapter 2. The disciples were feeling the pain of Christ's departure. They had just got him back from from death itself, and he was already leaving again? But they were not left alone. They were not left all to themselves. They were not abandoned. Look at chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound of a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the word Pentecost literally means the 50th day. So it had been 50 days since Christ had been raised from the dead, and it had been 10 days since his ascension. So they had been literally on their own, completely on their own, for 10 whole days. But they had been busy in these 10 days. You already start to see signs of life, signs of leadership in the church. The first thing they did is they replaced Judas with Matthias. And they must have been busy doing other things too, because the very first verse says, and they were all together in one place. What could have possibly kept them together? Jesus says, yeah, you have this huge worldwide mega mission. go ahead and do that. And then he gives them a couple of vague promises about the Holy Spirit. Now, that is not much to keep them together. They really had no clue what was going to happen. Yet they were there. They were together. And that shows me that there was some true leadership going on. Somebody was taking care of their brothers and sisters. Somebody was reassuring and encouraging and keeping everybody in one place with one purpose, and that was toward each other. Now, whenever I teach a parenting class, I'll usually tell the class at one point something along the lines of, it is not your job as parents to raise children. It's not your job as parents to raise children. It's your job as parents to raise mature, loving, responsible adults. If you have a child who's 18 and still in diapers, it's a good sign that something went terribly wrong along the way with parenting. Something is not right, because what our job is as parents is to move them to a place where they're more responsible, where they can, you know, do things without diapers. They can cook for themselves, take care of themselves, so when they get out in the world, when they go to college or they go into the workplace, they can actually function without somebody helping them out, guiding them along the way. But this isn't always easy for parents, because there are times that you've got to watch your kid stumble, maybe even crash and burn. If they're learning to cook for themselves, you might have to watch your kitchen go up in flames. I don't know what it is, but there are times that we just as parents have to let go, because that's a part of responsibility, which is being responsible for the successes and the failures. This past week, I was helping my son. My son's 3 years old, and he wants to learn how to ride a bike. Any of you remember teaching kids how to ride a bike, or you remember your parents teaching you how to ride a bike? There are times that you got to take the training wheels off for them to really be able to ride the bike. If you're riding the bike with training wheels, you still don't have it. You're probably not going to win the Tour de France with that going on. And so you've got to take them off at some point. And as I'm pushing them along, there were times that I had to let go. And guess what happened? Boom. Scrapes. Blood. It was a mess. And this happens over and over and over again. But as you can recall, eventually it clicks. You get the balance down. You figure out if you pedal fast enough, you can actually make this happen. Because that is a part of responsibility. You get some scrapes and bruises along the way, but that first time that you're able to accelerate, that first time you don't need anybody, you realize you're on your own, you can go anywhere in the world that you want to, it's the greatest feeling ever. And it seems like all those bumps, those scrapes and bruises are worth it. And I think that was what was happening here in this passage. There are times that God, because he's a good father, because, as Hebrews tells us, he's not willing for us to stay with milk, but he's willing for us to go on to meat, because he wants us to mature in the faith, he's got to let go and let us go on our own and take some responsibility. Jesus didn't say, I am going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth and spread my word. He said, you will go and take my gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. He had to let us go so that the mission he had intended could be accomplished. But he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us and enable us to have success in this mission. I think the disciples looked back and saw the ascension, Jesus floating up into the heavens, not as abandonment, but as taking the training wheels off. They looked back and realized that letting go was a part of Christ's discipleship. Christ had their benefit in mind when he left them behind. And sometimes when we start talking about Father's Day, you might think of your own father, and he certainly may not have had your benefit in mind when he just took off. And I'm sorry. But when we talk about our Heavenly Father, we can talk about somebody who's faithful, even when he doesn't seem like he is being faithful. Maybe your father was a bad example, and whenever we pray to our Father, you think your father. And let me assure you that our Father is not a father who would ever neglect us, who would never leave us. when we need him the most. Remember that little girl I told you about? And she was wondering why God was getting so much better at making people. I think that she's right. I think that God leaves us on our own from time to time because he wants us to go from milk to meat. He wants us to go from immaturity to maturity. He wants us to go from irresponsibility to responsibility. He wants us to go from here to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let us now go from this place, dedicated to maturing, dedicated to being better followers of Jesus. Let us go from this place with a trust in our hearts for our Heavenly Father, even when it seems like he has left us. And as his sons and daughters, let us remain committed to joining our Heavenly Father's holy and righteous mission throughout the entire world. Let us pray. God, on this day, you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us by that same Holy Spirit to have right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in that Holy Spirit's pure comfort. Help us to trust you. Teach us to be more responsible, more powerful, more able to accomplish what you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.